Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. And Sarah, will you please call the roll?
Chris?
Here.
Ron?
Here.
Dan? It's not here. Debbie?
Here.
Jim? Said he was absent. Lydia?
I'm here.
Rez is absent for the moment, and Dan is in the waiting room, so I'm going to let him in. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Perfect timing. I was just doing the roll call, so Dan Lauber.
I think I'm here.
All right, thank you. All right. So Rez is just running a little bit behind, so he's asked Lydia to step in as the chair pro tem. So Lydia, if you want to go ahead with the...
Do we have any public comments? Anybody that emailed anything in or on the line or in the room? Should we go ahead and everyone has the minutes from our last meeting. Are there any changes, edits, concerns?
So first we need someone to motion to approve and second, then we can discuss them.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any changes, any discussion?
I think they look good.
Okay.
So do we need a vote for everyone to approve them as is?
Yes. So
I'm going to call that.
Approve again. Chris?
Approve.
Ron?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
Jim is absent. Lydia?
Yes.
And Rez is absent. Okay. Thank you. Motion passed.
Okay, committee member updates. I can give a brief dementia-friendly River Forest update. I think the last time we chatted, we were still working on the website. So it's mostly done with a few edits. We are going to go live with it in early January. So I think I actually just put a blurb together for Pam Mon to go out in the Oak Park River Forest Township Senior Services newsletter. And so it's definitely a community source site. And if you, I don't know, you probably, no one would have seen it yet, right? Because you're not on the Dementia Friendly Action Team. I'm happy if we, do we have time if I do a quick screen share just to show you kind of what we've put together? That's all, you know, free and open to the community at large. I was lucky enough to have a graduate student this semester who did his practicum, Noel Factor, out in California. Who really worked on the site along with my director of operations, Lisa Peters-Bumer. Sarah, do you have to give me permission to share or? No, it's letting me. Okay. So this is, can everyone see that? This is the site as we have it. So just the homepage about what Dementia Friendly River Forest is, you know, all kinds of literature. We're working on some of our, I think we're gonna replace this front forest in Madison with more of a River Forest-esque image, right? That'll pop up, maybe the depot or something. But what dementia friendly is and what does it mean to be dementia friendly? And then if your businesses or organizations are interested in becoming certified, all the information is there. So Noel has put together all kinds of resources for the community. So there are trainings for first responders, for financial industries, for food and beverage industries, and for retail. So when you click through, you'll get the talk tactics, the PowerPoints that are complimentary, all this information. You know, it's just chocked full of things that families or persons living with dementia may find useful. And then there's a tab for families. There's all kinds of useful resources here. Caregivers, early stages, you know, what have you. And then there's a tab for local resources, and Pam is busy. She just sent Noelle, Pam Mann, a bunch of our own local stuff that still needs to be populated here. I didn't give Noelle too much of a hard time because he's in Davis, California, and I didn't want to make him work to research all of the stuff that we have going on. I can be a mean, nasty professor, but I try not to be. So Pam was great and put everything together. So Noel still needs to upload that. And then, you know, there he put together some really cool like online experiences for people all over, right? Like if you want to access Time Slips or the Alzheimer's Poetry Project or Alive Inside or go through, you know, the art museums or the national park tours, all that stuff is here. So anybody and their families can use it. And then there's information on COVID if you're living with dementia and you're navigating COVID, becoming a dementia friend. Here are the dementia-friendly interviews that another student of mine came out and did with Ruth Recco and Michelle Thomas. And so these are part of our training videos that are also available. And then in addition to that, we hired at the center with some of my grant money. I need to shrink the screen so I can get to it. Creative endeavors. And this is really great for people. Anybody can use it. I've had friends who are grandparents caring for grandchildren, and they've gone through these videos, but they're active live art videos and they're in English and Spanish. So when you click on them, you can do art gazing, you can do element tracking, you can do self-portraits, you can do name the tune. And Ellie's great, we commissioned them through the center. And so you can, you know, they all start out, they're very interactive. Let's see if it'll load. And just to give you a flavor of.
Welcome to Living Art, a program of creative endeavors for all people. Brought to you by the Center for Gerontology of Concordia University Chicago, with the generous support of the Russell and Josephine Cott Charitable Memorial Trust.
So they're all interactive, so you can just scroll through, and this is, you know, she's busy telling you how to do art looking. You know, this one she's interacting with a Renoir piece. But all this is here, and it's open to our community and anybody who can access our site. So we'll do an official launch in January once we do the cleanup and do our last minute touches. But this is something that we receive funding for through the Center for Gero, and I've been fortunate enough to have folks work with us. And so it's our goal when we get back in a place where we can go out in the community and do training and work with businesses and organizations, that eventually people will have, it'll say dementia aware. There's one actually on the window when you come into the village, but it'll say dementia aware River Forest. And when businesses and places are certified, people will know to look for this as a dementia friendly place that they can be with themselves or with their loved ones. So that's that. That's an update from the dementia friendly site. So I don't know how to stop sharing.
Lydia, that is very cool.
Oh, stop share. There we go. Yeah. Thank you.
That is very cool.
You know, it's been a work in progress, and we still have work to do. But it's my hope that as we move forward with our age-friendly efforts, that we can fold dementia. It's different, right? But I think that there's a space where kind of, if we're going to be age friendly, we can look at all the types of ways that we're friendly for all abilities and all ages within reason. And, you know, so that's what we have to there.
I think that speaks to one of the questions on most of the surveys about having a central place to look for information.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there needs to be a clearinghouse, if you will. I mean, the village feels like a reasonable place for that. I feel like people in River Forest are used to paying parking tickets, going there for permitting, that's a central place where there seems to be, you know, you can get information about this, you can get information about that. But yeah, I think there does need to be a space where people can go.
Yeah, cool.
So that's what we've been up to there. And, you know, I'm grateful that students need hours. And you know, it's been really great. And actually, at some point, we'll probably link Noel's presentation, but he just did his final presentation for his practicum. And I'm instructing for the practicum. But it was really great to hear him reflect on what he was able to learn. And even though he works in memory care, I mean, he's like, I didn't realize there was sort of like this national movement in communities around people really being committed to support people living with cognitive thinking problems related to aging. So at some point we can share that too, but that's what's going on with Dementia Friendly. You know, we're still trying to figure out how to complement efforts with Oak Park Dementia Friendly. Mm-hmm. I know that they have a lot of, well, not a lot, but they have training resources on their website too. So at some point we'll converse with them. But that's what's happening there.
Any questions? Does the village pay for any of this?
Not right now. It's all been out of my grant money through COT.
Wow.
And to host the Weebly site, it's only, I think it's like $40 a year. And so it's not fancy. I think if we ever wanted to do something fancy or for it to become its own nonprofit or something like that, it might need a little bit more support. But to get it together and launch it, it's been, you know, with minimal grant dollars and time and student support.
That's great. Otherwise that would cost a bundle.
And
trying to get it done.
It's the getting it done part that is, you know, I mean, everybody wishes they had 52 more hours in the week, right? Or at least I do. But yeah, it's been, you know, for students, it's just nice because it comes alive in ways where it's not just an exercise in this abstract theoretical, here's what we think we know about aging. Like, this is real people in real time doing real stuff. And then as age-friendly communities collaborative, I know I was on the call, Rez was on the call too, and he might have much more to add. But I think it was last week. Time runs together. I believe it was last week. Folks convened, and it was really interesting to hear all of the age-friendly initiatives that are going on around the Chicagoland area. There was a woman, I don't remember her last name, Mim, I think was her first name, and she gave a whole tutorial. I wish we would have recorded it, or maybe Rez has some of the PowerPoints and the keynotes, but it was all on surveys. It was designing those age-friendly surveys. And I believe she might have been with NEIU, and they're working with Woodstock.
We have that.
We do have it?
Yeah.
Explaining her rationale for surveying. It was like Survey 101. And then there were some other folks just talking about different programming they were doing. You know, there was a librarian, I forget where she was from. So Rez would probably have a much more cohesive update than I could give you for the Age-Friendly Communities Collaborative. Other than that, you know, they still are, they're committed and they're in the game and they want to support people, you know, in various municipalities doing the work. We are working with the MCC too, and the center. And so I'll have another practicum student, Drew, I'm blanking on his last name, Rancos, I think. He's in Oak Park and he's an architect who's getting his master's in gerontology. So he's very much interested in environmental gerontology. And Dan, I actually sent him your way. So if you get an email from him, that's probably why. But he's local and he wants to figure out how to build age-friendly design. And he's worked with developers in the past, but now he wants to think about differing ways he can do this work. But he's going to help us put together an age-friendly virtual summit that will likely take place over the month of February. And as we near closer to February, realistically, probably over the month of March. So we have time to plan it, just because it takes a little while to do that work. So that's all I have there.
Lydia, those the MMC, there's a couple of presentations, so those are part of the packet.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, it's just the slides though. So without the context of someone presenting, it's a little different, but we can see if we could maybe get, if they have a recording or anything, we can try and get a hold of that, because that would be helpful.
Yeah, it was a great meeting. You know, again, I'm always struck by the amount of people who are on there who are doing this work, you know, in a variety of capacities. So those are my updates.
All right. So were we going to talk about the Oxford survey?
Yeah, does that fall under old business or is that new business?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump things here.
No, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we can kind of move through the agenda as we need to. We don't have to stick to it too closely, so that's
fine. Okay, so I went through the Oxford survey. I actually took it and acted like I was clicking on every answer. And it took me 28 minutes.
Okay, I was gonna ask, yeah.
Is that exhausting?
Not exhausting, but especially when you get to the sections where they ask you, like, what else do you think? You know, where it's not a multiple choice and you would have to type in an answer. Mm-hmm. I actually did think those through. I substituted River Forest for Oxford. And some of the questions really don't apply to us here. And I understand that. But I thought it was one of the techniques they used where they said, what's important to you? And then they followed it up with the same series that said, does River Forest have this? Yes, no, or not sure. And I thought, okay, so that points out awareness of what services or capabilities are available, and you could actually rate that.
Yeah, I think that's how they capture their gap analysis, I think.
Okay, right? That's what I was thinking, because Lydia, you know more about that kind of stuff than I do, but it seemed to me like that was almost like the old lie scale and old psychological tests by asking the same question twice in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And Jessie my friend sent it to me this morning, and I apologize for it being, you know, last minute. As I said, Sarah and I both reached out. I reached out first to Suzanne Kunkel, who's the director of the Scripps Gerontology Center, who's the first author on the report. And I didn't hear back. And Sarah kindly reached out again. And I don't think did you hear back from her? No. It's probably because she's busy. But so Jessie is a colleague and a friend of mine who's part of the Oxford, Ohio movement. And she said, oh, look, I found it in my files this morning. So she sent it to me. But she had some reflection on things they wish they would have done differently and how they would have asked things differently. So when we go, and I would imagine, you know, because it is designed for Oxford, we'll tweak it. She did say a lot of the questions came from the ARP content or the ARP questions. And so we would need to, you know, make it work for us, but we could include her reflective feedback when we're designing this for what we're doing.
I also, I compared it with Hanover. Chris, what was the one?
It's Hanover.
Hanover, I think, yeah.
Yeah. There are really strong similarities between the two.
Based on age.
What I liked about the Oxford was the repetition questions, where it said, well, what's important to you and do we have this? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was one unique tweak that we might want to include.
Yeah. I think that's also in Barb Merle's study that she had done. I had a couple questions on this. I remember having done a survey like this, and I think it probably was Barb's, and especially like questions 4 and 5, where they're asking, do you plan on moving near, you know, where do you plan on moving next? And I have found every time I'm asked that, it's like, I am totally clueless. I have no idea. And I think that's one of the things that, especially older people, they don't know. They might totally plan on, oh yeah, I'm going to stay in the area, and a family thing happens and they move, or they have physical problems and they have to move. And so it's almost like you're just picking crap out of the sky because you really don't have a clue.
Making it up as you go.
Well,
so maybe we need an option that says, I don't have a freaking clue.
Actually, you don't ask the question that way. The question ought to be, thinking about growing older, where would you like to live? In other words, you would have something along those lines. In other words, what you would like to do, not how likely it is you will move to a different home. Would you like, you know, you could, your choices would be among stay in the same home, move to a smaller home, leave River Forest, live near River Forest, whatever. But you'd ask the question a different way. I mean, yeah. I should have. I thought this was a really good survey.
Yeah.
It needs, I mean, what we would put out would be substantially different because it would be tweaked towards River Forest. And there's questions, there's things in here that are absolutely irrelevant here. And there's things that would be relevant right here that weren't relevant to them. But it's a real nice start. I like that they put most of them, the demographics at the end where they belong. The methodology, we can get the same, they use a age stratified sample from the voter registration rolls. Right. We can get that too.
Okay.
Because when you do canvassing, they give you the age of the person, but they also noted it left out certain demographic groups. River Forest may not be so diverse that we got to worry about that, mm-hmm. but we might want to keep that in mind if we think that there's a lower voter registration rate among certain ethnic groups, racial groups, or educational groups. But otherwise, you know, it was really good. And yeah, it basically my note is we have to narrowly craft the questions to fit River Forest. Yeah. Oxford is a whole different situation. I've been to Miami. Oxford, it's a different town.
It is a different town. I mean, I think that the fact that it's such a, it's a college town is enough of a differentiator in terms of what they deal with on a.
You mean we're not a college town?
Well,
we've got two great universities here.
We do, but having lived in Oxford for many years, I mean, it's a town of 10,000, but in the academic year, there are 30,000. Traditional age undergraduate students, right?
I've worked in Oxford after a tornado back in the late 70s. And then another one in the late 90s, and was amazed at the change in the town. But 2/3 of the population during the school year are students.
Yeah. Ron, was that in 79 the tornado that destroyed Xenia?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I have another question about this survey and about how we might adapt it. And I've seen this from other surveys and I'm still kind of stumped. Because we're River Forest and we're not River Forest and Oak Park, how do we address things like transportation and social activities and volunteer activities that are really provided within the community of Oak Park River Forest, yet we don't have any influence over Oak Park. So I'm thinking in the circle, how do we look at that?
Well, there's two distinct parts of what you're raising. One is what we have control over. And the other part is what we want information on. And so you can phrase it in terms of the River Forest Oak Park community with some of those questions, if you wish. I would want to include Forest Park as well. And if we're going to be really totally open, we'd include Maywood as well.
Maybe there's supplemental sections. I don't know, like services that you access that are in River Forest, and then ancillary services from surrounding communities. I mean, maybe there's a way to kind of pull it apart that way. I don't.
Yeah. We can figure that. I admit myself included, we're all falling into the trap of getting down to details before we decide the broader questions, including what we want to get, what information we need to get from the survey.
I'm glad you brought that up, Dan, because do we want to get information that will give us what the village government can actually do something about, or do we just want to gather general information we can share and hope somebody does something with?
I would think the top priority would be information that the governments of River Forest can do something about.
Right.
So the village, the township,
policy,
the park district, if it's relevant, you know, the different bodies here, the school districts, perhaps, if there's some involvement with seniors. I would think there could be with mentoring, who knows?
That's what I was thinking. Like, can we narrow this down to something that will become actionable for somebody who's got some authority to do something?
Yeah, I think that's the overarching goal, I would think.
And then that would be part of our action plan, right? Would be to, you know, disseminate information or to share, to educate, you know, to build an awareness with local bodies that can actually affect change.
Yeah, I think as we discovered last week at the village board with the variations for this couple with very 86-year-old mother and a lot of disabilities going on, there's a lot of educating that needs to be done with our village officials about aging issues.
I would agree.
But I will say that Rez voted right on both votes, and he's sensitive to them.
As is Kathy. As is, you know, I appreciated comments on, you know, it's important to be, I think, to be proactive rather than reactive around, like, this, even the language around accommodation feels like we can do better than just simply accommodate people, right?
I hope so.
So did it pass?
We lost on reversing the plan commission. It was 2-4. Erica and Rez were the only ones who voted for that. But we did get unanimous approval of the reasonable accommodation after a little bit of a reluctance from two members of the board. But they came around in the end.
So what do we do about these surveys? What's our next steps?
I think our next steps would be, I asked, when I reached out to Suzanne, I asked about if Scripps were to do this from afar and they were to design or tweak their survey, the original survey, to accommodate the needs of River Forest and to administer, to do the analysis and to put together the write-up, what the cost would be. So I'm still waiting to hear back. You know, I have a little bit of grant money. It sounds like Rez could petition. There might be some money in the village budget to do some outsourcing of this. And then I think the second plan might be to reach out to, I think it's NEIU, the woman who spoke at the MCC about the survey that they did for Woodstock, and see if they could do a similar project for us. I just don't have the human power right now at the Center for Concordia to do it. And I don't know what the state of affairs are going to look like in January. So I'm hesitant to commit, you know, too much until I know more about whether or not we will exist in January as a gerontology program and center. So I guess the question is, you know, what the cost would be if we outsourced it, versus what the cost savings would be if we kept it in-house and we figured out as a committee how to tweak the survey. Dan, it sounds like you have access, like if we could get, you know, a sample size. I mean, I don't know what, I guess that's the next order of business is to cost it out.
Yeah, I mean, I know we'd want to survey at least 300 or 400 people. The Oxford survey, they got a sample of 700, hoping to get 350 responses. If we do the survey right, we should be able to get 60% response rate. But again, you know, we've got a couple of decisions we have to make along the way. One is, at what age do we want to start surveying people? That will affect our questions as well. And I think, you know, one of the things I think we ought to start getting down to soon, not today, but maybe next month even, is figuring out what do we want to learn specifically? What sort of subject mm-hmm. areas we want to go into, and what do we want to get out of this? What do we want to learn from people? Do we want to learn if, just to take a simple example, which is kind of obvious, do people want to stay in River Forest? Do they want a home that's more affordable? They want a smaller home. They want a more accessible home. Do they want better lighting on the streets and sidewalks so they can get around at night safely? There's a ton of other things. And then, once we figure out the sort of information we want to extract, then we got to boil it down. Because how long did you take to do the survey, Ron? 28 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's too long. I think you want to keep the survey down to no more than 20 minutes if you can.
Well, that was online, and I'm pretty quick online. So on paper, I don't know what it would take, but I'm wondering, Sarah or Lydia, could either of you send me the Oxford survey as a Word document that I could then start to edit, and we'll do save changes.
Well, I think that's Ron, I think that's a little premature. Shouldn't we be
focused?
Yeah, shouldn't we be focused more on figuring out what information we want to get? Then we can go into the survey,
okay,
and eliminate things and such. But they'll save us, it'll be more efficient, I think. And give us fewer headaches.
Did anybody else read the Arlington Heights report that was
in the did. Budget? I thought it was well done. But Arlington Heights is a way different community. But I like their approach.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it's like, is there somebody who's already invented the wheel so we don't have to
keep... I'm with you.
And I could see something like the Arlington Heights report coming out of something like the Oxford survey. Mm-hmm. Pretty easily.
And that, Dan, that might get at what you're talking about. And what I'm thinking also is, what do we want and what are we going to do with it?
Yeah. Okay. So the Arlington Heights, it's a report and survey, or just a report that we have?
Both. It's in the, if you scroll down, it's the last part of the there's a PowerPoint presentation in the packet. So they're talking about their process, and they too used, it looks like they use the ARP survey and part of the flow.
So Pamela has joined us.
Yay, congratulations.
Hi, Pam.
You're on mute.
Sorry. This is my second Zoom in half an hour. So a little
zoomed out.
Nice to see everybody.
It's great news that you and Kathleen got the senior services. What was the award?
So there were two, actually. One was for the meaningful memoirs and gifts of genealogy. That was for the programs that happened through the partnership with the library and the township and Concordia Center for Gerontology. And that was the Program of the Year Award for Illinois Township Association of Senior Citizen Service mm-hmm. Committees. And then they also awarded me, surprise to me, I wasn't aware I was even nominated as Director of the Year this year. So that was a very
congratulations.
Nice. Wow.
Yay. Nice job.
Thank you. I did not mean to interrupt and take over at this point. So,
where were we?
We were brainstorming next steps. I wonder if I'm scrolling down to the bottom of the slides, and Mim Evans is the person that I was thinking of as the Senior Research Associate at NIU Center for Governmental Studies. I wonder, it sounds like she was instrumental and the survey plan for the age-friendly community for Woodstock. I don't know, I can't decide who or determine who was responsible for the Arlington Heights study, if that's something that they did in-house or they farmed it out. But, you know, Mim might be a person to reach out to say, you know, if, you know, because you've done this, you know, would NEIU, would the Center for Governmental Studies be interested in working with River Forest? I don't know.
So who reaches out?
I can. Rez and I had gone back and forth via email, and in the, I M'd him or messaged him in the presentation when Mim was giving her talk or presenting her slides. And I said, hey, idea, right? If Scripps doesn't get back to us, could we check in with NIU? And he said, that's a great idea. And you know, I'll reach out to Mim. So I don't know, maybe he might've already emailed her, but if not, I can too.
What were you and Jim working on?
The meta-analysis from all the stuff that we had, and Lauren talked with us and Lisa talked with us, was that last month? So Lauren put her synthesis together, and I think very similarly to what is in the Arlington Heights next steps, if you will. People I think are really concerned about housing and transportation. Like, those tend to be two really big issues in terms of age friendly. And that seems to be, you know, across these initiatives. Like if you look at the MCC, the Age Friendly Mayoral Caucus, that's what people are talking about. And then I think, given a meta-analysis that we've done with all the data that we have, right, people seem to have uncertainty and anxiety about how they're going to live, where they're going to live, and how they're going to move about the place. Like, not just the physical place, but the larger community. So I would imagine for us, those are important areas to make sure that we have questions pertaining to in our survey.
Mm-hmm. If they are areas that village government can have something
right
to have an impact on.
I mean, I would hope that village, I mean, particularly around zoning and,
yeah.
I mean, I think that there's work to be done, you know, and even, I mean, people seem to have such a resistance to any type of creative design around smaller spaces on big lots.
Oh, good point. Okay, I gotcha.
But I mean, accessory units, whatever, you know, dwelling, whatever thing. I mean, I think that we're gonna see a shift in how we live. We're gonna have to see something.
Understood.
I may help with accessory dwelling units, or granny flats as they're called, in the jurisdictions that have been very receptive to them. You don't get that many.
Right.
It's just one of the tools that can be used, but it's by no means a major solution out there. But, you know, we certainly should, and I believe the village is looking at allowing such uses. Among the other uses, among this whole continuum, is the missing middle housing that I sent everyone that invitation to for that webinar. Rez caught part of the webinar. I caught the whole thing. It was one of the best webinars I've ever gone to. And I sent Sarah, which she only saw just before the meeting started, a link to where you can view it online for free at YouTube. It's great. I actually, if you want, I could show you a few slides of what we're talking about, because it's affordable housing for middle class, including elderly, that's duplexes, triplexes, six units that look like single family homes. And everyone here should be aware that River Forest used to allow at least duplexes in its single family districts. One of our kids bought one about 5-6 years ago and converted it back to a single family home. But they did exist. There's nothing incompatible about one or two on a block. And
can we go back to what we're trying to achieve here?
Right. Yeah.
Because we can go into a whole other area.
I'm leaping ahead.
Fascinating, Dan. But I think my concern is this committee can go on forever, but we do have a charge that we have to come up with a plan. And I don't know, I think we're getting a little closer because we've got these really great examples, but in what ways can we actually make some movement to get the plan done? And I don't know.
I think we finalize a survey by next month.
No, Ron, it's impossible to do it that quickly. You need several sessions and then you need to do a test or two. But surveys are not easy to put together. Seriously, it's very hard to write them. And most surveys are terrible, quite honestly. So, you know, let's not rush.
So then maybe we should get. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life on this.
Thank you.
Committee. I don't know how much of it's left.
Well, I think the key thing is we should, for our next meeting.
We can come up with a list. We can come up with what we want to learn as a village.
Let's do that at the next meeting. Let's think about it and be prepared. We could share documents back and forth beforehand.
And after that, we decide on the survey and we do it.
I like that.
It has to move.
Yeah.
We're getting nowhere fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've got some great examples and everybody's nodding their heads and saying, yes, this is kind of what we want to do.
And so Dan, I agree. It's not going to be perfect. Nothing's perfect. You know, I worked disasters for 35 years. I never had the perfect answer. But let's move on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm not suggesting anything is going to be perfect. I agree with you, but we got to be very careful in how the questions are worded, how they're organized, and how it's presented. It makes a huge, huge difference.
You can be in charge of the worry.
As an action step, what are we? Does someone want to start a list of what it is that we want to find out? I'd be happy to do that.
I'll work with you on that.
Okay. Sarah, put it in the minutes. There will be wine involved, right?
I have a question. And I am not in the same league as all you. Is it possible that we could start on a meeting one night and crank out a survey?
No, not a chance in hell. Seriously. You can't do that. What we can do is...
That would be tough to do.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious because I don't, you know, we talk about that there is an assortment of great surveys, whether or not we can contract with somebody to do it or to... But I'm just wondering the logistics of it. It seems like it's... there's almost too much to choose from in a little way. And then... I'm just wondering, how do you zero in? And I mean, if we were all in a room, you'd have a wipe off board, you'd write it down, you'd cross it out, you'd change it. But this is a little bit constraining. And I just wondered if you just keep going until, you know, 5 hours and then you get it done.
Well, Debbie, you're absolutely right. But you know, I think with what Chris is initiating here, we can, and we should be feeding ideas to her before the next meeting.
Okay.
We can, put together sort of a wish list of what we want to learn. You can put it up in a Word file, whatever, and share the screen, and that could serve as your whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, make collective changes. Or we could switch to a different platform like Microsoft Teams or I think GoToMeeting that have whiteboards built in. Whatever. Right.
I'm just thinking if we all came up with, I mean, I execute tasks well, but clearly here I'm not I'm not the brains, but I'm ready to do all of that work. But I sometimes I get off a call and I'm overwhelmed by the amount of information that we have. It almost seems like it stymies us a little bit sometimes.
No, you're absolutely right. It is overwhelming. I'm overwhelmed. Well said.
Well said.
Yeah.
But we.
So
I think what Chris has got started though is going to do the trick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think Ron and I will come up with a list and ask all of you to respond to it before the next meeting.
Absolutely.
So what mm-hmm. we'll be presenting is mm-hmm. everyone's thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I'm ready to do whatever.
Thank you. And Lydia, sure. You're going to check to find out what Scripps might charge and yeah. about.
And then also reaching out. I'm curious as to who actually, like, who was the human power behind Village of Arlington Heights?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says they completed 880 surveys. So I'm just curious as to who managed wow. that and who did the analysis. And I'll reach out to Mem too to see kind of what the.
Was there
I'm available for free.
So am I.
Was the Arlington Heights survey a random sample or simply?
I can't tell. It doesn't say.
We can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah, it just says survey collection online survey. They used ARP.
How big is Arlington Heights? Is it
big?
How many times the population?
Is Arlington Heights for the Lutheran?
Four times our population.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't give their methodology.
Okay.
Just gives their priority outcomes.
When that
actually probably larger, maybe five times.
So what else do we have to talk about before we start talking about Pam?
Let's go to Pam.
Before Yay. You go to Pam, Arlington Heights is 75,000.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Big. Okay. I want to hear about a handyman service because I need one really badly.
I'm not coming over.
So Sarah, can I share my screen? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course you should be able to, but let me know if you have issues.
Okay. Let me know when you see it.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So I was scolded earlier this evening about using a municipal logo. So if that's a problem for River Forest, let me know. I will pull it off. But this was just a representation of the hope that the villages and the townships can partner together to bring the home repair program to both communities. With this partnership with the Northwest Housing Partnership. So I will go through this quickly and let me know if you have questions. If you want to interrupt me in the midst of it, that's fine. If you want to wait until the end, that's fine as well. What we'll talk about is what the mission of Northwest Housing Partnership is, how they will potentially meet the needs that are in our communities, what we as partners would do in this, what they will do for us, and then next steps from here. Their mission is basically, they're a nonprofit organization. They've been around since the early 90s, and they promote partnerships to serve residents and especially low-income residents, and hoping that they can provide cost-effective housing and services to help residents stay in the community. Let me know if there's any problem reading some of the slides. I was trying to weigh between making it large enough to see and small enough that it shows the whole thing. So if there's a problem, just shout out. They began this Northwest Housing Collaborative, which brought about the home repair program in 2014. So they've served Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove, Mount Prospect, Palatine, and Rolling Meadows. That was their first catchment area. And then in 2017, they expanded the program to include Des Plaines and other communities in Palatine and Wheeling Townships. And then they added on an age options grant, which expanded their catchment area as well. And in learning about the program through the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, I had talked with the executive director there, and she had mentioned that they were talking to Berwyn about bringing the program to their area. And I thought, well, this this kind of makes sense to try and bring it here because we're kind of right in the middle of that area. So, you know, I was talking to her about it a bit, and so we've been working together on how we can move this forward. And she's very excited about this potential opportunity to bring the program here. So this is a mock-up of what the older adults in the community would see. This is the first half of their flyer that goes out to their residents. Very basic. Do you need help with simple home maintenance? If you're 60 and older, give the Northwest Housing Partnership a call. This mirrors what we would be putting out to the community. It would just be, yes, now it's, you know, available to residents of Oak Park and River Forest. And then the second half of this flyer is here. And this is the eligibility requirements, what the income information is, the cost for the program is, as well as examples of their eligible work. They do focus on the fact that this is not emergency home repair. Don't call them if the, you know, if the faucet is leaking or the pipes are leaking or any sort of emergencies, but they will do the repairs, you know, and there's the whole list there, like I said, of anything from cleaning gutters outdoors to doing grab bars. And I know personally, we get a lot of calls for various small jobs like these that would be such a wonderful asset to residents in the community. So the calls would be directed just like it says here. We as the information resource for the community, we would be providing this Northwest Housing number to residents of the community. They would call, you know, get the application filled out for their service and then move forward. This is the income scale. So you saw in the prior screen that the dollar amounts are based on income and can be $20 and $20, $30 or $40. This is what that breaks down to for each of the income levels. The $18,000 income level is a potential opportunity actually that we have. Age Options does fund the Northwest Housing Partnership for residents who earn less than that dollar amount, and they pay the cost of the handy person, and or they pay also for the cost of materials. So really, for someone who's in financial need, it's a great opportunity to help them get the repairs that they need. And this is what the current income guidelines look like for that sliding scale for free service. And as I said, this is a special funding opportunity that they applied for through Age Options. We would have the potential of applying in the next Age Options RFP cycle, which begins in March. So we would have the potential of bringing that to residents of Oak Park and River Forest beginning in the next fiscal year, which starts October 1st of 2021. So just to kind of break it down for the Oak Park and River Forest partners, what we're doing at this point is hopefully getting agreement and approval from all of the different partners. We have had meetings at the senior committee levels. The committees approved it to move forward to the township boards. Both Oak Park Town Board and River Forest Town Board have approved this program to move forward. So we're looking to this committee, and I was just on the call for the Aging in Place Commission in Oak Park. And they approved for this program to move forward. They've made a recommendation to the village board for it to move forward. I'm hoping for the same thing here from you tonight. Once we establish our partnership, we'll have an intergovernmental agreement between the partners, and there will be an MOU created with Northwest Housing Partnership to establish that relationship. We would make referrals to the programs. You know, I imagine the village gets calls about, you know, home repairs as well as the townships. And, you know, we would work to make sure our staff knows, look, if any resident calls and they need home repair, this is the number they call. We have this new service. We also would work to promote this program. So it would be on township website, village website, sent out in any news bulletins. We would distribute it out with our meal flyers and any other avenues that we have to kind of get the word out. And then finally, each partner would be asked to provide a stipend for the program. So it's a small ask. For each organization, it's $1,750. And what that is doing is providing the support for the program administration in this first year to get it off the ground, to get new handy people hired. For both of the presentations that we've done already, there were some good questions. And the members asked some specific things. So they want to make sure there's an emphasis on hiring local handy people if possible. So that's one of the things that we'll ask the partnership to focus on. And then they also asked if we could make an effort to ensure that the handy people are trained in dementia-friendly practices, which I thought was a great tie-in to our current dementia-friendly activities. So those are kind of the basics of what we would do as partners. What Northwest Housing Partnership will do is this. So each partner would give that $1,750. What we get for that investment is this. They will advertise, they will interview, they will do background checks, they will screen all the applicants who are older adults looking for home repairs. They'll make the linkages for the home repairs between the handy person and the older adult. They've got the legal disclaimer, which you'll see. They manage the program budgets, they collect the data, they do all the reporting. And then they also work to promote the program. So for example, she was telling me that they would go to, you know, things like our Day in Our Village or our Rotary Truck Rally or different events in the community and promote the program there. So they work on that level as well. And then they also would look to do fundraising for the program. So seeking other sources of funding to decrease the amount that the partners have to provide. This is hard to see and I'm happy. I don't know, Sarah, did you email this out to the... Okay, so everybody has this already. If you want to see it in larger print and bigger version, you have that available. This is the current application that they use for all of their all of the people who come through the program. And they've been using this in the 6.5 years that they have been providing service, and they have not had any issues with the program to date. So we will, you know, we have that context to move forward. They have 6.5 years of working history with this document and the kind of disclaimer at the bottom. But this goes through just gathering the demographics of the participant and their income information, and then what type of work they need and how it gets paired off with the home repair person. So as I said a little bit, the next steps would be, you know, approval from you and then potentially your recommendation to take it to the board. Then the entities would sign the intergovernmental agreement. And then, you know, once we do the MOU with Northwest Housing Partnership, we can advertise and they can advertise and hire the handy people. And then on to promoting the program and making referrals. So this is my contact information as well as Robin Sandis. She is the executive director of the program. So she's certainly available to ask questions as well. Do you have any questions for me or any comments or concerns?
Of course we do. A couple questions. One, you talked about partners. Is the, are the partners Village of River Forest and the township, or how, who are our partners?
The two townships and the two villages.
Okay, okay. And tell me if I'm like not in the spirit of this, but I look at it and go, oh my God, they clean my gutters. I'm over 60. I'd have to pay $40 an hour. Can I hire these people? Is this the spirit of, is this okay?
The spirit of the program is for it to be used by whoever needs the service. So if you're over 60 and you need the service and you are, you know, at the high end of the income range and you pay the $40 an hour, great. If you're at a lower income level and you need assistance through the stipend, great. We're, you know, the design of the program is to help meet the needs of people over 60 in the community.
Sweet. Because it's really hard to find people that you trust, and, you know, people like knock on your door and you hire them and you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, so that's really, also the one other question I had about this is, what about Cantata? Is this similar to what Cantata Handyman Services do? Do you know them?
I know of them. I don't know in detail what they do, but what I have heard recently is that they weren't coming as far as Oak Park. And so this would be, you know, specific to our area. So there wouldn't be that risk of suddenly calling one day and them saying, no, sorry, we don't go there anymore. Mm-hmm. so
that's great. This is really cool. And especially if they're going to be trained in dementia friendly, if they're local people that's and screened, I think that's awesome. I would recommend it.
And Chris, you're absolutely right. One of the targets of this program is to have that friendly, familiar face on the program, where these are people who are vetted and we're making this recommendation out. It's not just mm-hmm. a new person who's knocking on your door, mm-hmm. right? There's a little bit more built-in level of trust and structure in the program than just a random knock at the door.
Sweet.
And I think that helps.
So, Pam, I do have one question.
Yes.
I have several friends who are about to retire who are incredible handy men and women who might be interested in helping with this.
Perfect.
How would they get registered with NWHP to be part of it?
They would contact Robin Sandis on the contact person on the screen, and she would keep them
lined up. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pam, is this something that could be expanded to include places like Forest Park and Maywood?
She has already been talking to the Proviso Handyman program, and they have not come to an agreement yet, but she has been in conversation with them. So there already is an existing program for that area, but they had been talking about partnership. So that's on the table. I don't know how that will pan out.
Great. So do we, as a committee, do we make a recommendation to the Board of Trustees?
This is Rez Vasquez now, sort of jumping in after the fact. Thank you. I apologize to everybody. My real work, board meeting, normally I don't need to attend them, but they anticipated there were going to be some problems, and yeah, there were. So so I apologize. It just ended. So, but to answer your question, I guess, yes, we can make a recommendation to the full board to participate in this program. if that's what you'd like. I'm sort of indirectly familiar with this Handyman program. So Pamela, I apologize, and Robin, if she's online as well. But I know we've talked about it in the past informally with even MMC, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. I know the I wouldn't say the idea specifically for this, because I can't remember, Pamela, whether you already had something in place for Oak Park relating to this, but I know it was discussed and there was an interest, not only for River Forest and Oak Park, but I came in at the end where it sounded like Pam was saying Forest Park is looking into this. I'm not sure Maywood is part of Maywood, or is it? Do you know, Pam?
So the Proviso Township has a home handyman program currently. Okay. And Robin Sandis, who is the executive director of the Northwest Housing Partnership, she was in conversation to partner with them, but they haven't come to that agreement.
I would like to make a motion, might as well, that we recommend that River Forest Board of Trustees, and can we recommend that the township partners with this organization?
Well, we can recommend, at least for the village of River Forest, the board can, that we recommend that the village board participate in this. The township, River Forest Township, is a separate entity. So and Pam, I know you work closely with Carla Sloan. Is she interested in doing something like this or reading for the township?
Sure. So that's where I started the meeting. So I'll catch you up just really quickly. Both township boards have approved this program to move forward. So at this point, we would just seek for the village board to want to enter into that intergovernmental agreement with the village of Oak Park and both townships to bring this program to the communities.
And Pam, I apologize because I'm late, but so you don't have to repeat everything, but do you have a copy of that intergovernmental agreement?
That has yet to be drafted.
That's yet to be drafted.
Which partners we're going to jump in.
Okay. So if that's an interest, would River Forest, the board, then be interested in joining or looking at developing the IGA with you?
First, we need to go back to share screen.
Okay.
On share screen.
Which page, Ron?
So we can see each other.
Oh, I'll take my screen off.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We go.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're trying to decide what we can do just for the village, not the township, because we're not part of the township, correct?
Correct.
So is it appropriate for us to make a motion to urge the village board to move ahead with this?
That's the question I'm trying to, yeah.
Okay. If so, I so move.
Mm-hmm. I
second.
Mm-hmm. Third. All right, hold on. So we're saying Ron makes the motion?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, who seconded it?
Debbie.
Okay, and then the motion is to recommend
to the Village Board of Trustees to move ahead in participating with this IGA handyman program.
Yes.
Okay.
Not bad for coming in at the tail end here.
Yeah. All right. You hear what we did in the last hour.
Oh my God.
All right, let me just take the vote real quick for this. Chris.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Debbie.
Yes.
Jim is absent. Lydia.
Yes.
And Russ.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And Sarah, then for the record, I came in at about 8:10.
I put 806, but.
Oh, all right, that's even better. I'll go with that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate it. That makes me 2 for 2 tonight. I got approval from both commissions. So
okay.
Thank you, Pam.
And then Pam, I'll probably be following up with you as well to move ahead with this. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a good night. Nice to see everybody.
Thank you. Okay. Let me see the Zoom. I got it. Okay. The Zoom. What part of the agenda are we at?
The end?
We're at the end.
Oh, we are. Okay.
We're at the end.
All right. Well, yeah. Boy, you know, the one time I want you guys to slow down, that happens to be, you know, it didn't work this one. So very well. Then I think then the next meeting, and I can catch up with it. Let me briefly, I know I apologize, but please. What did you end up doing with the survey? I know there were attachments to that were part of the agenda in the survey. There was the sample that Lydia, you sent us, and I know you just recently got it today, so we got it to everybody. What were ultimately what people wanted to do then?
Chris,
go ahead.
Ron and I are going to start a list of what are the things that we want to find out. Lydia is going to be contacting Scripps and NIU about possibly hosting the survey for us. And we're all going to, between now and January 9th, respond to Ron's and my list so that on the 9th, we can look at it and go, this is swell, and then move on to survey creation.
And Chris, that's fine. That sounds great. Chris, what I didn't hear was, are you going to, when you and Ron get your list together, are you going to, is there a timeline approximate timeline you think you're going to have it by so we can respond by a certain, before the next board meeting, it sounds like.
Right? We'll have it by the winter solstice.
Okay.
When Saturn and Venus align.
Okay. The grand conjunction.
Right. All right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're all still here.
But Rez, we're still able to. We're all going to be suggesting, sending them ideas as well.
Right. Yeah. So I think we'll start out with an email chain going back and forth, but then we'll start using the Dropbox that Sarah set up. So it's all in one place.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Okay. Well then, is there any other business just to confirm then, the next board meeting will be then on January the 9th. Mm-hmm. It should be Wednesday.
And Rez, I have one quick question.
Sure.
Were you able to reach out to Mem Evans at NIU?
She's gonna verify whether she can release her survey.
Okay.
She was gonna get confirmation about that, okay?
Thank you.
Excuse me, unless my calendar is an odd one, January 9th is a Saturday?
It is, you're right, Dan.
Oh, so it cannot be, I'm glad someone's looking at a calendar. Hold on.
How about January 7th?
You know what, it's usually, I think we scheduled it the second Wednesday of the month. So it would be the 13th.
Okay.
Is that okay, everybody? January the 13th.
Yep.
Okay. All right, then. Then January 13th at 7 o'clock, Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay. All right, then. If it looks like then no other business or no other questions, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn and we'll have to take roll call.
I move. We adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. And Sarah, if you can take a roll call. But before we do, happy holidays for everybody. Mm-hmm. Again, apologize for being late and looking forward to working with you in the future in the new year. So thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
With that, Chris.
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
Jim is absent. Lydia?
Yes.
And Russ?
Yes. Okay. All right, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.